Dear Cheap Astronomy, please tell us more about Dragonfly. Here at Cheap Astronomy, when we heard some murmurs in the background that NASA was launching a new mission to a gas giant moon, we instantly thought, woohoo, all aboard for the Europa Clipper. And then we read the memo properly, and, oh, right, it's not the Clipper, and it's not Europa. We're actually going to Titan again. But to be brutally honest, the proposed Europa Clipper is unlikely to achieve more than just further determining the potential habitability of Europa, which is kind of useful information, but at the same time, meh. In fact, the whole Back to Titan Dragonfly mission is kind of nifty. It involves landing a rotocopter, which will fly around on the only moon in the solar system we know to have a dense atmosphere that would allow you to fly around in a rotocopter. It's unlikely we'll discover life on Titan, but it's unlikely the Europa Clipper will discover life on Europa either, even though there might really be life on Europa under 20 kilometres of ice. So really, Dragonfly is a decision to do what we can with 21st century technology, and even with just 21st century technology, we can fly a rotocopter around a distant moon of Saturn. How is that not awesome? The physics of flying on Titan are pretty straightforward, since it has four times the density of Earth's atmosphere and just a seventh of Earth's gravity. The real engineering challenges are 1. It's minus 160 degrees Celsius on Titan, and it may snow hydrocarbons. 2. Titan is over one light hour from Earth, so the copter will have to fly and navigate largely autonomously. And 3. There's no point doing all this if you don't have a way to send data back to Earth, and that data just has to include a few visuals of our little machine flying around on a freaking moon of Saturn. It's expected the rotocopter will deal with the cold because it's nuclear powered by an RTG, a radioisotope thermoelectric generator, which will not only produce electrical power, but also warmth. The RTG doesn't have enough electrical output to run the rotors directly. Instead, it will steadily charge up onboard batteries that have much higher wattage output. So the idea is the copter will fly during the Titan day, which is about 8 Earth days long, and recharge during the Titan night, another 8 Earth days. The final specs of the copter are yet to be worked out, but since it will be carrying its own RTG, all the flight machinery and scientific instruments, including sample collection devices, all adds up to a whopping 450 kilograms. So it is a lot of mass, even if it's not a lot of weight to lift against Titan's gravity. The rotocopter design will have four pairs of rotors, each about a metre in diameter. Two pairs are on either side of the rotocopter's rectangular body, which should give it a lot of flight stability, and the mass of the craft itself should add to that stability, even if it won't be all that manoeuvrable. It is expected it will be able to fly forward in a straight line at up to 36 kilometres an hour and be able to rise up to 4 kilometres altitude. The rotocopter will have its own communication dish, allowing it to transmit and receive data directly with Earth. Similar to our moon, Titan is tidally locked on Saturn, with the same side facing Saturn all the time. So Titan's full day-night cycle of 15 days and 22 hours is entirely about its orbit around Saturn. So its opportunities to communicate with Earth will be mostly in Titan's daytimes, when the part of the moon that it's on is also facing the sun. And the part of the moon that it will be on is called Shangri-La, a huge expanse of hydrocarbon dunes, which is more or less where the Huygens probe landed back in 2005. And when does Dragonfly happen? Well, everything we've talked about will happen in 2034, although that follows a launch from Earth in 2026. So the Boffins only have about 7 years to get the thing built and launched.